The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A National Brain Tumour Awareness Week with Brain Tumour Ireland is coming up from October the 21st to the 27th. Stephen McNally, consultant neurosurgeon, is with me now to give us an insight into the week's events, but also to talk about brain tumour generally. Stephen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me, Pat.
Now, first of all, what is a brain tumour?
Well, unfortunately, there's over 150 different types.
Okay.
So it's a huge, wide range of different sorts of tumour. I think probably the two most important points, though, are when it comes to a tumour in the brain, it depends on what type it is, how aggressive it is, how malignant it is, and equally importantly, as to where it is. So you could have a very aggressive tumour in a place that is non-eloquent or a surgeon can help with, and you can have a more benign tumour but in an exceedingly dangerous place to operate. So both are equally important.
Now, what makes a tumour benign rather than malignant?
Well, really, when we're talking about benign, we're talking about the cells. So it's on a cellular level, it's not rapidly dividing, would be the simplest way to look at it.
So you could have a benign tumour which would be growing very slowly, is that
very it? Slowly over many years. But if it's in the really wrong place, it can leave you with tremendous problems and be a very dangerous operation to undergo.
Would that be simply because of its size? When it gets to a certain point, it's impinging on something that you need to function.
Usually the bigger, the more difficult. But of course, with the brain, it can be actually quite small. And if it's in the really wrong area, do detrimental effect.
Mm. Now, the malignant ones, they're, I suppose, cancerous ones, are they?
Correct. And they would make up of the, we would talk about primary brain tumours, in other words, tumours that arise from within brain tissue, as opposed to secondaries that come from other places in the body, like breast cancer or lung cancer. And of the primary tumours, it is actually our commonest tumour is a malignant tumour within the brain.
That is generated in the first place within the brain.
Correct. It has come from brain tissue, and it really, 99.9% of the time, it remains a brain problem. It doesn't go outside the brain.
Now, I'm going to ask you about symptoms, and I know that everyone listening will think they have a brain tumour by the time we finish
correct
that conversation. So what are the typical symptoms of a tumour, and how persistent do they have to be before you say, I have a problem?
I know, and that's very difficult to answer honestly, because the brain controls so many, like nearly every part of our body. So it can present with any neurological symptom almost anywhere in your body. But the commonest ones in adults anyway would probably be new onset seizures, like an epileptic-like seizure. And usually that's fairly obvious to people. They go get checked out and they get a scan and they end up coming to us. For other people, it just depends on what it's impinging on. It may be a tremendous change in vision that often very good opticians will pick up, or an ophthalmologist, and scan and send on to us. Or chronic changes in behaviour over time can be a sign of a slowly growing one. But I mean, if you talk to my family, I'm more cranky than I was 20 years ago. So these, it can be much, much more subtle. It can be much more subtle. Headaches can be an issue, not as common as most people would think. There would tend to be great pressure in the head.
A feeling of great pressure.
And those headaches are classically early morning, first thing in the morning, tend to go away when you're up and about. Gravity makes them worse. But being honest, if we've all had a little too much to drink, we wake up with a headache. So I don't want everybody running to their GP with headaches.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So suppose you do finally get a diagnosis, GP, and then a scan, and yes, you have a brain tumour. Yeah. What are the remedies? I mean, some of them may be inoperable, there may be no remedy, but
correct
for those that you can get at, what is it? Is it surgery? Is it radiation? Is it chemo?
Good. It's for each individual, it's a combination of all the above. So surgery may be very simple surgery, like a biopsy, because it's in the wrong place, or somebody has other medical complications that prevent a major operation. It may be a very extensive operation. It may even be an awake surgery because it's in the area of their speech and you're trying to protect it. or with our neurophysiologists and neurologists, we map out the brain during the operation. This all depends where it is to try and do it as safely as possible.
Because you don't want to make matters worse.
Yeah, and we
you
always
operate and you end up, you can't use your left arm or whatever.
Correct. And unfortunately, that's part of it. It does happen, even with all the bells and whistles attached. The brain is a strange place and is very individual for all of us.
Now, I remember hearing about robotic surgery and even robotic radiation, where everything is done by computers. So they can target like a peanut-sized tumour with very directed radiation.
Yes, so our radiation on colleagues use conformal radiation, but they use stereotactic, what's called stereotactic radiosurgery, but is that highly focal radiation, which can give very high amounts of radiation safely to a small area. It is exceedingly useful in the secondary tumours, like from breast and lung and colon, but they have to be of a small of enough size for it to be beneficial. And it is used in other brain tumours, especially if there are small areas left behind. So it has a great role, but the commonest tumour, even if we remove it, the malignant tumour within the brain, they actually have to give more conformal, larger radiotherapy over a larger area, because it's 80% will regrow locally where we operate.
And then the role of chemotherapy.
Yeah, huge role. And that's probably going to be the most rapidly changing role over the next decade. There has been fairly standard, simple chemotherapy for brain tumours up to the last 10 years. It's got a little bit more specific. The real problem for a lot of chemotherapy is that it can't penetrate brain tissue very well. So it can work elsewhere, but not very well within the brain. And that's why people who've total control of breast cancer or their colon cancer can suddenly get a metastasis or a second a tumour in their brain. But there's a lot of studies coming through that I think will really benefit people with brain tumours over the next 10 years.
We've been talking to John Crown about the developments where you have these molecules which will latch on to a very specific molecule that is the problem and kill it.
And kill it or alter it so that your own immune system can kill it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's quite an exciting area to work in. But how do you feel about having control over people's brains when you're operating, knowing that it's down to you, the next incision?
Yeah, I don't feel I have control over people's brains at all. It's a good description. I think, like all neurosurgeons, you're privileged to be put in that position of responsibility. And it's very much the responsibility will lie with me, but I have a huge team around me, from specialist neuroanesthetists to neurophysiologists and neurologists I totally depend on for guidance, to the computers for the guidance and all that. But the hard, you know, is trying to balance between doing a lot to help a patient without taking too much of a risk to leave them in a bad state. Yeah. And that's the hardest balance.
Are you ever nervous going into theatre at this point, having done it for so long?
I think every case throws up its nerves. If you're not a little nervous, I wouldn't be concentrating. I think a little nerves can help. I think it's all about what calms you is good planning. Good planning, like in anything in life, will help you guide you. And having very supportive colleagues makes a huge difference.
Now, Brain Tumor Awareness Week, what's happening?
So lots of events happening next week, thanks to Brain Tumor Ireland, who do so much for us. They've something each day. It is on their website, braintumorireland.com. But on Tuesday, there's a webinar, which actually is very important. It's entitled, Who Cares For Me? In other words, what we do find, especially with people who are surviving some years with this, is their carers, their families really need support or need to look after themselves. Mm-hmm. You can only care for somebody so long. So there's great support. And it's the mental health advocate, Keith Walsh, leading that. On Wednesday in Trinity College, for those that are interested, there's an evening on brain tumour research.
Okay.
With also a talk from our lead neuro-oncology nurse, Eloise Cowie, which would be invaluable to people. And then on Thursday, because the centre is in Dublin, but also Cork, about a third of the patients in the country are quarter will be in Cork. There's a walk and talk session down in Cork. And finally, on Friday, and you can purchase a ticket on Brain Tumor Ireland's website, one of my patients, I know she wouldn't mind me saying this, is a wonderful singer, Pamela Tully, with other artists, is having a concert at the Hendrick in Smithfield.
Very good.
And so please, it's both a joy to be there. I'm sure she'll give a great night with her friends, and it's a way to raise money for Brain Tumor Ireland.
Brain Tumor Ireland, the website, will have all the details. Just some of the questions coming in. What's the difference between a brain tumor and a brain aneurysm? That's
so
from Denise.
That's my other specialty. So a brain aneurysm is like a balloon on a blood vessel. So it's like a balloon coming out of a blood vessel that's generally very weak and has a risk of rupture.
And is that there spontaneous since you were born?
No, it generally develops later in adult life.
Okay. Can you ask, Stephen, if it's possible for someone who's injured a joint to have an MRI because they have a previous history of surgery with a brain hemorrhage?
The answer is yes, but it depends how it was managed. All brain hemorrhages, especially if it was an aneurysm that has eclipsed since 1995, everything is MRI compatible. But if it's before that and there's no record, they'd be very nervous about doing an MRI scan, understandably.
Is a bleed in the brain the same as a brain hemorrhage, asks?
Correct, yes. Hemorrhage, bleed, same thing.
All right. And we could be here all day answering questions from our listeners. But Stephen McNally, consultant neurosurgeon at Beaumont Hospital, and here on behalf of Brain Tumour Ireland, because next week is National Brain Tumour Awareness Week. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
And thank you so much for your time.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.